tonight, I'd like you to go to Exodus chapter 25. And it's glad to be able to meet here. The weather hasn't been too cooperative, but it's good to be here tonight. Amen? I'm glad you're here, because God is doing some awesome things. And in Exodus chapter 25, this was right on the heels of when God invited Moses to come up to the mountain. You know, God's inviting each one of us to come up. Amen? And as we gather on his mountain, which is his presence, you don't have to climb a mountain. Amen? You can get into his presence simply by praising him and saying the name of Jesus, and you have an access. Jesus is your access card into God's presence, and you can come boldly before the throne of grace anytime you need, and you can obtain mercy and find grace in whenever you need it. So God spoke to Moses, and he had showed him some things on the mountain. He spent 40 days in the presence of the Lord, and I believe that he saw the actual tabernacle. You know, I believe that he went up to heaven, or God showed him the tabernacle that is in heaven, and then he wanted Moses to build one here on earth to pattern after the original. In verse 1 of Exodus 25, he said, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering from everyone who gives it willingly with his heart. You shall take my offering." So how should we offer stuff to God? Willingly and from the heart, right? Amen? And what were some of the things that they took? It says, "And the offering which you shall take from them, gold, silver, bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen, goat's hair, ram skin dyed red, badger skins, and acacia wood, oil for the light, and spices for the anointing oil, and for the sweet incense, onyx stones and stones to be set up in the ephod and in the breastplate, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show you." Notice, all that I show you. In verse 9 says, that is the pattern. Everybody say the pattern. Of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings, just so you shall make it. So God instructed Moses to make the tabernacle according to a pattern. All right, and just as God has a pattern for the tabernacle, for the place of worship, he's got a pattern that he wants you to follow for your life, for your family, for your career. Amen? And as long as you don't deviate from his plan, amen? Everybody say his plan. You know, because sometimes we can have our plans, our way, you know. Now, I know that there's no one here that has ever displayed any selfish tendencies, you know. And I'll be the first to admit that I have, so. But there was a divine pattern. And if there's a pattern for the tabernacle, when you follow God's pattern, it will work, it will succeed, and it will fulfill his purpose. Did you know that in the tabernacle, the items such as the Ark of the Covenant, the table for showbread, and we're going to look at some of these, they had rings attached to them. You know what the purpose of those rings were? To carry those items from one place to another. Amen? And you may be a ring for God that's attached to something that God just uses you to transport from here to there. But you know what? Every piece of the tabernacle was important. Everything had a function. Everything had a place. God set a divine order of things in the tabernacle. All right? Just as he's given you things. He's placed things within you, and everything that he's placed within you has a purpose, no matter how small it is or how insignificant we might think it is. It's not insignificant for God. Amen. Just ask the little boy who gave up his two-piece fish dinner. So we want to follow God's pattern for our life. Go with me to to Revelation. Revelation, and I believe it's chapter 20. No, let's go to chapter 21. Revelation 21 and verse 1, it says, John's talking here, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and will be their God." You know, God wants to be your God. He wants to be your guide. He wants to be your father. He wants to be your friend. He wants to be your redeemer. He wants to be everything. Amen. He deserves first place. And that's really what it means. When you follow God's pattern for your life, you'll have his presence. You'll have his peace. You'll have everything that goes along with his pattern. And you know, aren't you glad that God gave us, he wrote down his divine pattern for how we should live our lives. If you've never had an experience with God, if you've never been on the mountaintop where God spoke, you have him, you have his words in your hand right here. And this is the primary way that God speaks to us today, is through his word. His word is so precious and so important. And if you just put the word into practice, you'll have good success. Amen? Let's go back to Exodus 25. And some of these I'll touch on again. But Exodus 25, we're going to look at the Ark of the Covenant. Okay? And Exodus 25, verse 10 and 11 says, "And they shall make an ark of acacia wood, 2.5 cubits shall be its length, a cubit and a half its width, and a cubit and a half its height. And you shall overlay it with pure gold, inside and out you shall overlay it, and it shall make on it a molding of gold all around." So the Ark of the Covenant was a wooden box covered in gold. It speaks of Jesus' humanity and divinity. All right, how many know that Jesus was the God-man? He was 100% God, but yet he was overlaid with glory. He was 100% man as well. He was man and he was God. All right? So just like the Ark of the Covenant was wood covered in gold, and in it contained the commandments, a pot of manna, and Aaron's rod that budded. Now let me just say something about Aaron's rod that budded. Okay? It was a stick that had been severed from the vine. All right? And just like any piece of dead wood, it can't sprout, it can't bloom, but God caused Aaron's rod to bloom, and it bloomed with almond blossoms. And I found this about almond blossoms. The Hebrew name of the almond means the waking tree or the waking fruit. And the almond blossoms early in the season. And it can set forth the speed and the certainty with which, at God's will, his purposes are accomplished. You know, we're not going to look at it, but the story when God was going to choose a high priest and he was going to choose a certain tribe, and Aaron brought his rod. He was from the tribe of Levi, and it was his rod that budded. It was God signifying that he was, that Aaron was God's choice. Okay? And so that was the rod that was in this Ark of the Covenant. Okay? Now, the Ark of the Covenant, it represents God's dwelling place. All right? It had the Ten Commandments, the Word of God. It had the manna. Jesus is the bread of life. He's our daily bread. Amen? Isn't that what he told his disciples? The Lord, you know, the Lord's Prayer. Give us our daily bread. Amen? So this is what the ark contained, and it represented the presence of God. Wherever the ark was, God was. Okay? But now we are containers of God. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And look at verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not us. Whenever anything great and exciting happens in your life, it's not because of you. It's because of God. Right? We are simply containers. You know what? When Jesus made water into wine, he poured it into an earthen container. And we hold this treasure. What's his treasure? His word. Isn't his word like treasure? His word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. You know, people hide treasures, don't they? Pirates used to hide their treasure, and they would search for buried treasure. But we take God's treasure and we hide it in our hearts. And when we hide it in our hearts, that's the best safekeeping for his word. Okay? So the Ark of the Covenant, all right? And the lid of the Ark is known as the mercy seat. And on that it has two cherubim facing each other. Their wings, okay? And we talked about how the mercy seat covers. Love, what does love do? Love covers a multitude of sins. Does God ever bring up your past to you? The only one who brings up your past is the devil. So, just like the mercy seat covers the ark, God's love covers our sin. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:16, come boldly before the throne of grace that you might obtain mercy and find grace in the time of need. So we need both grace and mercy. How often does God make his mercy available? Every day. His mercies are new every morning. So if you messed up today, you can wake up to new mercy. That's good news. And so this mercy seat, that's where the blood is applied, and there is a mercy seat in heaven. And when Jesus took his blood, remember he rose from the dead, and Mary couldn't touch him? He said, because I haven't ascended to my Father yet, because he had to give his offering. He had to offer the blood on the mercy seat. But once he did, it was sealed. Once it was done, once for all. And now you and I can benefit from the mercy that's been provided. The mercy seat. It covers. It seals. Did you know that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit? Each one of us have been sealed by God's Holy Spirit. Okay? Proverbs 17:9 says, covering an offense promotes love. All right? Then, part of the tabernacle is the showbread, the table of showbread. Why, Pastor, why are you going through these? I'm letting you know that no item, no article of the tabernacle is insignificant. There is no person that is insignificant. There is no gift that is insignificant. There is no desire to serve God that is insignificant. That means that you're important to God. You are valuable to God. He designed you. He made you. And he's got a pattern for your life to follow. He wants you to follow the pattern. Just follow the blueprint. Read the instructions. They're very clear. The table for showbread, it was a table that was made of wood, also covered in gold. And on it had 12 pieces of bread, 6 in a row and 6 in a row. The 12 pieces of bread represented the 12 tribes of Israel. All right? I want you to see that every article also pointed to something else. It also represented something else. And this table, you know, Jesus is the bread of heaven, and we ought to put Jesus on display. Ephesians tells us to what? To put on Christ, right? Put on the new man. Put off the old man. We have to display Christ. We have to let our light so shine before men that they what? They see our good works. Every day we need to put Christ on display. Every day, every time the priest would walk in to the Holy of Holies, the showbread would be there. All right? It was outside the veil. The ark was by itself, and then the table of showbread and the lamp was across from the table. But the bread speaks of his provision, all right? And it shows that Jesus is the bread of life, okay? And outside in the courtyard was the brazen altar. And the brazen altar represents the cross of Christ. It was where the sacrifices were made, where the animals were brought, and burnt offerings were offered to the Lord on the brazen altar. How many know that he's the God who answers by fire? Amen? And did you know that the fire of God will burn up the wood, the hay, and the stubble? Just like when they would place an animal on the altar, it would burn it up. Okay? And God offered everything. God wants your all. And he'll take your ashes that his fire produces, and he'll bring something beautiful out of it. He'll give you beauty for ashes. And you had to offer something on the altar before you could even come near his presence. And we have to offer to God the sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks. Go with me to Romans chapter 12 for a moment. Romans chapter 12. Look at verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Amplified says, that part where it says, your reasonable service, your spiritual act of worship. Did you know that when animals were brought to the brazen altar, it was the form of worship that God desired? He had set up this system of worship. And aren't you glad we don't have to kill animals anymore? Aren't you glad that Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice? John described him as the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He's the lamb who takes away the sin of the world. And he offered his life as a ransom. He willingly offered all that he was on the cross so that he could destroy sin from the inside out. Did you know that Jesus was a secret agent? God became man so that he could destroy sin from inside out. Isn't that what secret agents do? They infiltrate enemy. They go behind lines. They sneak in so that they can destroy what the enemy's trying to do. Well, that's what Jesus did. God became man and took Satan by surprise. And he destroyed sin from the inside out. But he offered himself on that altar, which is the cross. That's where he made peace with God. And there was always a fire on the altar. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. You know, if you go from Exodus 25 to about 35, it covers all the items of the tabernacle. And you know something interesting? When Moses asked the people for an offering, they gave so much stuff that Moses had to say, quit giving. Because they gave more than what they needed. Amen? How'd you like to have an offering sometime where you say, okay, quit giving. You got too much. Say, we got a too much God. He always likes to do more than we could ask or think. Okay? So Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. You know, at the tabernacle, it smelled good and bad. Bad with all the killing and the blood, but good when they were roasting those, you know, roasted meat on the altar. And when you offer your all to God, it becomes a sweet-smelling savor to him. When you offer your all to God, say, here I am, Lord, and I'm giving it to you. It's a sweet-smelling savor. It's a sweet aroma to the Father's heart, all right? And it pleases him. So this altar. And there was the peace offering, all kinds of offerings. You always had to bring something to get to the presence of God. You could never come empty-handed. And he covered every base, all right? Then, and I'm not doing these in any particular order, but across from the showbread, there was the golden lampstand, all right? And there was seven lamps that were burned with oil, and there were seven branches, each comprised of three fruit, three flowers, and three buds, which made nine ornaments. Now get this. The total number of ornaments were 66. Does that number signify anything to you? You know how many books of the Bible there are? 66. So what's significant about the light? Well, the light was it represents the Word of God. The Bible talks about that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, and he shines on the inward parts. He said, God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. Amen. And he talks about opening the eyes of our understanding and being enlightened. So the entrance of his word gives light. It illuminates, doesn't it? It shows you the way to go. It helps you avoid darkness. It shines. And Jesus said he was the light of the world. He's the source of light. This golden lampstand, it was pure gold. And it provided light. And they had to keep the wicks trimmed. And they had to keep the oil full. You know what happened to foolish virgins? They let the oil of their lamps run out. And when we deviate from God's pattern for our life, our oil will run out. And you'll be running on empty. How far do you think you get on E? I remember when our gas tank would get low, my dad says, it's running on fumes. Well, fumes only take you so far. You got to keep yourself full. You know, Ephesians 5:17, it says, be filled with the Spirit of God. How do you do that? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making a melody in your heart to God, giving thanks unto God for all things. Be being filled. Whose responsibility is it to keep yourself full? I gave you the answer. Whose responsibility is to keep yourself full? It's my pastor's responsibility. Pastor, you got to fill me up. No, I teach you how to eat, and you fill yourself up. Amen? God is so good, isn't he? He is so good and gracious. Look at Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. And have you noticed that although we find where Moses built the tabernacle in the Old Testament, but you always find a reference to what was built in the New Testament? Amen? So, Revelation chapter 1, look at verse 20. The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. So, as a church, what is a church supposed to do? A church is supposed to preach the word, to preach the gospel, to teach people what Jesus did and how he did. And that's to give light. We're to be a lighthouse. We're to shine our lights. And we have to be a lampstand for God. Okay? Now let's move on to the veil. All right? There was a veil or a curtain that separated the holy place, which had the table of showbread, the lampstand right outside of that was the laver. And then beyond the veil, there was the most holy place, which had the Ark of the Covenant. And that's where God's presence would come down. And this veil was a woven curtain. of blue, purple, and scarlet thread of fine linen. And it was made with artistic design of cherubim, and it divides the holy place. Now, the tabernacle itself had four coverings. Does the number four signify anything to anybody? How many gospels are there? Four. All right? Each of these coverings of the tabernacle, the first one was made of fine linen, of blue, scarlet, and purple. The second was of pure white goat's hair. The third was of ram skin dyed red. And the fourth was leather or badger skin, and that was designed to cover and to protect. The fine linen represents righteousness. The goat's hair represents the sin offering, because they used the scapegoat on the Day of Atonement. The red-dyed ram skin represents substitution, and the badger skin represents protection. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Did you notice that there was that nothing was excessive for the tabernacle? You know, if you were to take modern terms, the weight of gold, the weight of silver, all the wood, how much do you think the tabernacle would be worth today? Any ideas? Come on, throw some suggestions out. Hundreds of millions? Now, 10 years ago, it would have come out to about $7 million for a tent. Now, if you had a $7 million tent, that'd be a pretty nice tent, don't you think? Then Solomon's temple was about $70 billion. The temple that became a permanent. So, nothing is excessive in God's eyes. You know how much the alabaster box of precious ointment cost the woman who broke it and poured it on Jesus? The Bible says it costs a year's wage. You know, you can never be too excessive when it comes to worshiping the Lord. You can never get over excessive. Oh, you're just too excessive in your worship. Really? I'll tell you what, God wants lavish worship. And the closer you get to Him, the more precious it becomes, the more valuable it becomes. Outside the tabernacle, bronze. Inside, gold. Closer you get to His presence, the more valuable it becomes. So you can lavish on God. Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 20. Well, let's go with 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Say, I'm bold. Say, I'm bold. Say it like you're bold. Say, I'm bold. The only thing that will keep you from entering God's presence is a sin consciousness which produces guilt and shame and unworthiness. But what makes you bold according to that scripture? The blood of Jesus. You're bold because of what Jesus has done. You're bold because what Jesus accomplished. You're bold because Jesus did it for you. And it's because of Jesus, not because of you. So we ought to be going into the Holy of Holies. Verse 20, by a new and living way which He consecrated for who? For us. Woo, aren't you glad that when He goes on a journey, He wants to take you with Him? through the veil, that is his flesh. That veil, that covering, represented his flesh. How many know what happened to the veil on the cross? When he was on the cross, what happened to the veil? It was torn in two. His body was broken. His body was torn. His blood was shed. His skin was open. But that brought a wave to bring you into the Father's presence. Let us draw near. You know, when you draw near to God, he draws near to you. That's what James said. Let us draw near. How should we draw near? With a true heart, in full assurance of faith. I'm Douglas Pishka. I'm fully reporting for duty, fully assured. You're confident. What makes you so confident? Jesus. You can approach God with a true heart in full assurance of faith. That's how we got to approach God. Full assurance. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, that represents the laver that was before the priest would wash in the laver. He would bathe in the laver before he entered in to the holy place. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. You ought to be so confident that when you go up to some, you know what? You ought to come and get involved with it. You ought to come and partake in it. You ought to come. You know, excitement breeds excitement. They used to tell us at Bible school, get on fire and people come watch you burn. Why? Because that breeds excitement breeds excitement. So when you get excited about Jesus and you start telling others in your excited way, they're going to get excited too. But if you go up to someone and say, why don't you come? It'll be fun. Does that make you want to? No. You ought to come with a full assurance of faith, boldness, confidence. Why? Because Jesus did what he did for you. He made a way through the veil. Jesus destroyed the barrier that separated us from God. Can you say amen? That means that you don't have to be the high priest because Jesus is the high priest of our confession. You have a right and a privilege. Now, how does this relate to God's pattern? Who gave this pattern to Moses? God. Can you be like Moses and get a pattern for you? How many believe God's got a pattern for you? Say, God's got a pattern for me. And he has made it possible for us to follow it and to do it. All you got to do is come get you some. Amen? He's already rung the dinner bell. Ding, 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 ding. You just got to come and get some. Let me just finish with the altar of incense for tonight. There is a smaller altar that was in the area of the showbread and the lampstand called the altar of incense. And it was a smaller table. And according to Exodus 30 and verse 7, Aaron was instructed to burn sweet incense on it every morning as he tended to the lampstand. So while he was trimming the wicks and adding the oil, he was burning incense. Now, incense Go with me to Psalm 141. This is good. Psalm 141. You know, it's hard trying to get to where you're going with one hand. Psalm 141, verses 1 and 2. Lord, I cry out to you. Make haste to me. Give ear to my voice. When I cry out to you, let my prayer be set before you as incense. The lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. So incense is like prayer or intercession. When we make our prayers, it goes up before God, and he hears your voice, and then he acts on your behalf. But just like the priest had to burn incense every day, how much do you think we have to pray? New Testament says pray always. What does that mean, pray always? Always be in an attitude of prayer. That doesn't mean every moment of the day, oh, praise you, Lord. You know, it just means that you're having an attitude of prayer. You're having an attitude of fellowship. And when anything comes up, you take a moment and you pray about it right then and there. But that altar of incense is like prayer. And like the smoke ascends up, so does our prayers. And we have to pray. And Aaron, one more scripture, Exodus chapter 30. Exodus chapter 30. Verse 8. Exodus 30, verse 8. When Aaron lights the lamps at twilight, he shall burn incense on it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. So, your prayers that you pray now can affect the next generation. The prayers that we pray for our government now can affect the next ones who are going to be raised up for leadership. So let's get a coal from the altar. Let's get the fire of God and stoke up your prayers. And let's get serious about what we need to pray for. Amen? Okay, thank you, Lord. I think I'm done for tonight. When Jesus came to the people fishing, he said this phrase. He said, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. You may not feel like you are where God wants you to be at this moment, but as you follow him, he will make you into what you need to be. He will make you the mighty man. He will make you the godly woman. He will make you. But your part is the following him. You follow his instructions. You follow his way. You follow the light. You follow his voice. My sheep know my voice, and others they will not follow. You got to zero in on what God is saying to you. You got to zero in on his voice. Come and follow him, and he'll make you into what he has designed you to be. So you want to get to where God wants you to be? Follow him. Follow him. Follow him. And you'll look back. And as you're following him and you look back, you're going to say, woo, look what the Lord has done. Woo, he healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me just in time. Oh, I'm going to praise him some. He says, I'm going to praise his name, but I'm just ad libbing. Make, Father, right now in Jesus' name, Lord, I pray that these here tonight, Lord, we make up our minds and we're going to follow you no matter what. We're not going to take a poll, but we're going to hear your voice. And we're going to do what you say. We're going to go where you say go. We're going to stand when you say stand. We're going to fight when you say fight. We're going to possess what you say possess. We're making up our minds right now that we're not going to do any other thing other than what you want us to do. Lord, we're not going to be conformed. We're not going to allow the world to squeeze us into its mold, but we're going to be conformed to the image of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Go.